Got a judge down in Montgomery County who's being sued by all kinds of people, but for having a chaplaincy program and having a prayer in his courtroom. And you got that little Freedom from Religion Foundation, FFRF, and what they'll do is they'll threaten lawsuits. They'll do lawsuits all the time, is what they're all about. And so what that does is creates. The cities have to do a law, defend a lawsuit, or churches have to defend a lawsuit. So all they have to do is create a lawsuit, and they've got bunches of lawyers over there, and so they're doing all these lawsuits, and the church doesn't have enough money to do a lawsuit. The city doesn't have enough, barely got enough money to do anything, because these small counties and small cities. And so that's how they do. That's how they do their thing. They get in and they just create chaos. You know, they don't care if they win a lawsuit or not, they just want to create chaos. So, but these judges, this particular judge is a man of God. And he's got a chaplaincy program, he lets everybody come in. He lets all the folks, because that chaplaincy program talks to all the prisoners in all the jails. So he's got it from every, he's got Muslim chaplains, Hindu chaplains, you know, all a chaplain is Catholic, Protestant, everybody, you know. But they want this Freedom from Religion Foundation. They're an equal opportunity offender. They want no religion, and so they're going to destroy this whole thing. But one of the organizations that we know of is First Liberty, which defends religious liberty cases like this, and so they're doing that for no lawyers for no charge. So thank God for that. But the bottom line is that electing godly people, electing God, because it's in your power to do it.
And you want courageous godly people, because they're just like our Nehemiahs of our day, because you have to have someone that's strong enough to come against a lot of persecution, because it's not popular, you know. I'm not praying for Republicans as much as I'm praying for godly.
Somebody who believes, yes. Somebody who believes that the word of God is preeminent. Somebody who believes that the laws of the land are from God. And that if their laws are against God, then we change them.
Right.
We can't just let just anybody, you know, rule. You know, well, it's the will of God. No, it's not the will of God. Right. You know, it's not the will of God that the righteous that the wicked rule, you know, over in Proverbs 14:24 says that when the godly rule, when the righteous rule, who rejoices?
The people.
The Christians, yeah. Right? The Christians. No, it didn't say that. It said when the righteous rule, the
people rejoice.
All of them. Yeah. And when the wicked rule, the people, all of them, even if they voted for them. Once they get them in there, it's like, oh gosh, this is stupid. When the wicked rule, the people mourn. So we want righteous people ruling, no matter what. God said, Romans 13 says, for the magistrates and the rulers are the minister of God to thee for good. Is the minister of God to thee for good? And when he's no longer doing good, he's no longer of God.
Right.
So, and if you have an opportunity, if he's not Putin and he's not Xi, you live here. You still have an opportunity to get him out. And that applies to city. It applies to school board, certainly. If you listen to your school board stuff lately, and all this stuff they're trying to teach kids, you need to shut that down. Need to get righteous, godly people in there. We did that in Grapevine.
I'm just so happy too. It was eye-opening to me, because now there are Christians that put together books that attack this, all this coming against kids right now, the gender and all that stuff. They're making really high-quality books that you can. I said, well, that's good for the body of Christ. I'm glad they're doing
praise
that.
God.
So I'm getting those. And then also there's a prayer network I signed up for that, you know, it's just encouraging that you can, you know, get online and pray with everybody. So I'll try that too. It was an encouragement anyway.
Yeah, yeah, it was very blessing. I want to say it was a total blessing. I was able to go. I saw Ashley Wood.
Yeah.
Seen in a long time.
Yeah.
And Pastor David, Janet.
Peggy was there too.
Yeah, Peggy was there. It was, Buddy was good. Buddy did a lot of good. It was just a real blessing too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hear the different voices speak the truth.
Amen. And of course, you know, we've been doing this for decades. Pastor Jim and I both and encouraged him. Bunny, the reason Bunny's involved in this at all is because of us. She blames us. Is that because we taught her how to become involved in what you can do to turn your nation to God, your city to God, your state to God. We're preaching the gospel. Well, the thing about Jeffress last night was talking about is that, well, you're supposed to do. The church is all about all about the gospel. Well, yeah, absolutely. Then Jesus goes in and turns over a bunch of money changers in the table, in the temple. Well, it didn't seem like he was preaching at the moment. He was flipping over tables. Why? Because the ungodliness was taking place in that temple, and he said, "Okay, we're going to get rid of this." And said, "You know, and he made a declaration." And that's what you do. You go into the public thing and say, okay, this house is God's house, the house of prayer. Amen. This nation is a righteous nation. This nation was founded, the Mayflower Compact said, we're founding this nation because of God. That's 1620. You know, it's before the United States was born. But the people, the settlers, the people who came to settle the land, were to promote the Word of God and the Christian religion. So that's where we're at. Praise the Lord. So today we're doing the same thing. Amen? Hallelujah. We have the Word of God. So we're here to preach the Word of God and speak the truth. Because truth sets people free. Amen? You shall know the
truth.
And the truth will... Ooh, it's amazing. It'll make you free. The truth will make you free. Just put a little in. You know? It does it itself. It's like a seed. You plant a seed, what starts happening? It starts growing. It starts breaking out of the seed packet. Doesn't it? The seed starts breaking out and starts finding a place to take root. And that's what the Word of God does. When you say it, when you, like Joe, when she was talking to the guy, to the neighbor, you know, didn't you know that this guy supports abortion? Well, all of a sudden the guy didn't know that. Or he didn't even like the word. The one guy didn't like to even, I'm way past that. You know what? He's not. He is not way past that. He all of a sudden you planted a seed in his garden.
Absolutely.
You did. You planted a seed in his garden, and all of a sudden, oh, man, that seed's coming up. What am I going to do now? And God begins to do something with that seed, doesn't he? Isn't that so good?
Yeah.
Oh, man, thank God. You know, everything's got its seed in itself.
Yeah.
Do you know that? You know, God made everything with its seed in itself. You got some of that. You got some seed in you, you know, for people. People seed, you know. You know, you make new people, you know, and... So that's cool, is how God did that. But he's got them in bananas, and he's got them on the outside of strawberries. That's really weird, right? God is really kind of a clever fellow. You know, he does interesting things, you know. But he's got these seeds. So everything, if a cow's got seeds, chicken's got seeds, you know, everything's got seeds. And God uses those seeds to reproduce everything. And he says in Mark 4 that the seed is the Word of God. So the seed of the Word of God gets on the inside of you, and it produces life.
It's got inherent life.
Yeah, you're gonna receive the Word of God. He said, "Receive the engrafted Word that is able." It's got an ability in it. It's got ability built into it. Receive the engrafted Word that is able to save your soul. Amen. To make your soul changed. It changes your, that's the repentance part. It changes your mind. It changes your mind. And I'm looking at 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. We finished up 1 Peter, of course, last time or so. I know you guys can't keep up, but you got too many guys coming over here preaching one thing and another thing, you know. So prayerfully, you're receiving all kinds of different. You're getting bell peppers and tomatoes and potatoes and all kinds of different fruits and vegetables and that the Holy Spirit is imparting unto you. I believe it's fruitful. No joke intended. I believe it's fruitful that you guys are getting from all kinds of from these brothers. Because, listen, I'll get to the 2 Peter. Because all these brothers who are coming over here teaching have all received the same word that we received as our apostle, Pastor Jim. And it received from him teaching, and received from him words of truth, and words of encouragement, and words of righteousness. And then these guys have received that into themselves, and they are the next generation of those who have received it, and they have seed in themselves. And as they teach you, they're teaching you what the word has done in them. And so, you know what that's going to do is that's going to touch various others of you in ways like, you know, Judah, if you are listening to any of these guys like Cooper and, you know, those guys, if you listen to any of those messages, it's going to be different than Pastor Jim, but it's going to be kind of the same. But it's going to be something that I think is going to speak to you even closer to where you are, just because they're younger guys. And Pastor Jim didn't even have a tablet. You know, he didn't have a phone. He didn't, you know, he didn't relate those kinds of things. Like Chad. Yeah. And but they have things that they'll pitch that word in that'll relate to you from, you know, experience. And so you should listen to those guys, because they have the same message Pastor Jim does, but they're going to give it to you in a new way, in a fresh way. So I just encourage you with that. And these, as you know, these guys, since you're off and, you know, changing the world over in A&M. So those things are important, and that seed really changes you. And generation after generation, we don't have Martin Luther. Now we don't have Pastor Jim. We don't have Paul. But we got Will. You know, we got, Jack. We got, Alex. We got Chad. We got Judah now, you know, because he's a man and a man of God, you know. And so we got Andrew. Andrew's full of the Word of God. He is full of the Word of God. He has wisdom. Amen? So powerful. And so all of these guys, because the Word of God brings forth fruit, doesn't it? The Word of God brings forth fruit. So we have to understand that everybody we talk to, we affect them by our words. And even if you're not reading a Bible verse, your testimony is what changes people's lives. That's why you're left here. You're not left here to read. They didn't even have they had the scriptures and the scrolls, but you couldn't take it out of the, you know, you couldn't put it in your pocket. You know, they had to leave it in the synagogue. So you didn't have that. What you had, you had it in your heart, didn't you? You had the word in your heart. Huh?
Memorized it, I think.
Yeah, everybody right now got books, you know, but these guys memorized it. And then, but what happens when you memorize it is it's in your heart. It's in your mind, soul, heart. And so, you know, it's part of you. It consumes me. So this Word of God consumes me, and I am a light. Jesus said that over in Matthew chapter 5. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. If the salt has lost its effectiveness, if it's like bland, then what good is it? I mean, that's, you know, I mean, you've got the gospel, like we were talking about with this political thing. I mean, we use the word politics as if it's some kind of a thing. It's just people relating to one another and passing the laws that govern them together, right? So it's, forget talking about politics. You know, it's something you can, you know, make have a bad taste in your mouth, but you don't have to. What you're talking about is how people treat one another, isn't it? Really, that's what politics is how we treat and relate to one another. And Dr. Jeffers was talking about it. I think I'll get to this. Dr. Jeffers was talking about it and said, aren't we supposed to be here to do the gospel? Yeah, but there's a lot of other things in the scripture that Jesus told you to do. He told you to take care of that guy who was fallen by the road and beat up by robbers. And who was the neighbor to him? Who is the neighbor to that guy? Spirit. Jesus said, yeah. Who is the neighbor? It's the guy that helped him. The guy that gave money to help him. So you got somebody who does something, but that's born of the gospel, isn't it? Same thing is true. You're passing laws that affect people to say, no, you can't do that. If you murder, which is obvious, we're going to lock you up. Well, we don't even know if they do that anymore. But we're going to lock you up if you're murdered. But if you are, and you know, homosexuality was a law. It was a law. It was wrong. It was evil. It still is, but it's just getting rid of the laws. You know, because now they want to say, because the chief judges and magistrates and the president all want to do it. So if they all want to do it, then they pass laws that let you do it. You know, or kill babies if it's convenient. Let's do that. It's just so much more convenient if you can have all kinds of profligate promiscuity without the burden of having to have a baby. Yeah, I mean, the babies take a long time to raise. Remember when we had ours? They just recently got all raised. You know, and so it's inconvenient. Children can be inconvenient. But the devil doesn't care. He wants to get rid of them. Yeah, it's like something that is, oops, well, didn't mean for that to happen. Oh well, let's figure a way to get rid of it. Because you want to destroy what God's creation. That's really what's going on. The fact that babies come from promiscuity, from sex, people. Are trying to figure a way, it's trying to figure a way out of that because it's inconvenient. But you see, God didn't think that way. He thinks, okay, no, I want that child. I wanted that child there. That baby ought to be there. That baby's going to change the world in about 20 years. You know, that baby's going to change the world. So, you know, baby's here, babe, go take care of it. Take care of him. Take care of her. Take care of that baby. So all of these things that people are trying to get rid of God's law so they can live like, you know, heathen. So God says, no, love your neighbor by doing what? Change the laws to God's laws. Happy is the people whose God is the Lord. Righteousness exalts a nation. The Bible says, righteousness exalts a nation. Well, where are you going to get righteousness? You know, laws just slow people down. That's not where you get righteousness. You don't get righteousness by laws. You get righteousness by changing hearts. Amen? So you can't legislate the gospel. Well, what you can do is slow sin down. Amen? Yeah. That's what's important. So do both. Do both. You can both preach the gospel and work in changing the representatives that you have. You can do both. Amen? And you should do both. And you have opportunity to do both. You can do it here in Dallas. You can do it in College Station. Find out what people are doing to get rid of, to get rid of sin, wickedness, evil. Now, they don't like us. God likes you. God likes them too. God likes the wicked. How many know God likes the wicked? Huh? God likes the wicked. He doesn't like their wickedness, but he wants them. He wants them to be saved, doesn't he? God wants them to be saved. Do you love the wicked? Jesus loved everybody. For God so loved the Christians. God so loved the Jews. No, God so loved the world. That means everybody. So, and you guess what? You love them you love them just like Jesus did. No, I don't. I hate them. No, you're just like Jesus because you have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. You have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. And you love every person, even the ones who want to try to kill you. Yemba, Michael Yemba, is from South Sudan. He goes to our Thursday morning men's Bible study. He's come here a couple of times. He pastors a church, South Sudanese church here in Richardson. He was a missionary to Saudi Arabia, and they put him in jail. And they would beat him every day. And when they got through beating him, he would say, "Thank you. Thank you." He was loving his captors. George W. Bush heard about him somehow or another. I don't know, did Jim do the story? Yeah. George W. Bush heard about him when he was president, and he sent a whole, I think his family was important in South Sudan or something like that. And so he sent, and they were doing negotiations with South Sudan or whatever. So Bush sends a plane over there to get him, pick him up, get him out. And brought him here to the United States. He's pastoring a church now. Then he goes back in South Sudan and teaches all the law enforcement people how to walk with God. Yeah. So, but he would say thank you to those who hated him. We love everybody. I don't know what you feel. I'm not worried about that. It's the fact is that you love everybody. I love everybody. I may not think that's a good idea, but God thinks it's a good idea. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 2, or 2 Peter chapter 1. Wherever my glasses went. What? On the table. Sorry. All right, praise the Lord. Simon Peter, huh?
Yeah.
Simon Peter, we know him, the rock, little rock, a servant of and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Okay, that's y'all. So this is from Peter to y'all. Amen. Love you, Chad. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. Did you receive that right now? He just pitched it to you. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. Yoo-hoo! Thank you, Lord. Put your catcher's mitt on and get it. Grace and peace are being multiplied to you. I just want to receive that right now. Amen. Are you enjoying that? I mean, it's just like having a big old bowl of ice cream with whipped cream and cherry and chocolate sauce. You know, grace and peace with no calories. Grace and peace being multiplied to you. Big old steak. Grace and peace are being multiplied to you. Are you enjoying it? Because I'm just telling you, God's sending it to you. He is presenting it to you through Jesus Christ. What? He says, to those who have obtained the same kind of precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and our Savior Jesus Christ. That's what we want people to have. We want people to have this righteousness because it sets you free from the power of sin. Sin just will kill you. It'll just destroy you. There's pleasure in sin for a season, but the end thereof is death, isn't it? Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and our Lord, Jesus our Lord. So in the knowledge of God is grace and peace. So I want to find more and more and more about God. I want to find more and more about Him. And the Word is how I do that. The Word of God is how I find out. I don't find out by doing any other thing. Amen? The Word of God. Now, how did they get that? They got that in the old days. They got it from sharing with each other the Word that had been imparted to them, right? Because they didn't have Bibles to carry around. But they had brothers and sisters. So, and that's what you and I have. Because you have to have both the Word, and then you have to have brothers and sisters who you meet with, because they have the Holy Ghost on the inside of them, and they're receiving revelation, right? They're receiving revelation, so that revelation is important to me. That's why he tells you to don't forsake gathering together. Don't forsake coming together as is the manner of some. You're not going to get what you need from the Word and even from the Holy Ghost unless you meet with people. God said do it. He said do it. You got to do it. That's why, you know, if we weren't at Will and Kathy's last night, we were with Bunny and Tim and Shelly and, you know, and Dr. Jeffries. Or, you know, we were meeting and we were having the Word of God. And then afterward, we met again, you know, and shared all of the things that God has done. That's what they would do. They would come together and share everything that God had done, right? So, grace and peace are multiplied to you through the knowledge of God. So that's how you get grace, a lot of grace and peace, is through the knowledge of God. Otherwise, you may have turmoil and fear. You got to have the knowledge of God. Now, in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, and here's how it carries forward. It says, as his divine power, or here's how it works, his divine power has given unto us all things. Everybody say all things.
All things.
That pertain unto life and godliness. So we're missing nothing. I love this chapter. It's so great. Yeah, he's given us all things. His divine power has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the, back to the knowledge, back through the knowledge of him who called us to glory and virtue. So he has called us. So he has called us to glory and virtue. That's why we live. That's why you're breathing. Amen. You're breathing because he's given you, his divine power has given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. Verse 4, by which we have been given, by which have been given unto us exceedingly, exceedingly. That's a lot. We read this in last week in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, is talking about the exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Remember that? Our light affliction works for us. It's working on our behalf. You know, affliction works on your behalf. I meant to share something the other day about out of Psalm 119 about that. About affliction. It says but there in that verse in 2 Corinthians 4, says our light affliction, I think it's verse 17, our light affliction works for us. So if you're having a little affliction wherever you are, it's working for you.
Amen.
You know, it's like resistance training. We talked about that, you know, is that you are standing against the enemy. For our light affliction works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight. That's five adjectives, five whatever those are. Five descriptive words of what our light affliction does for us. It works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight. It even describes it as weight, like gold, you know, of glory. For we look at the things that are seen and not seen. Amen? For the things that are seen are eternal. Are not seen are eternal. The things are that are seen, they're temporal. Amen? So all of that, he says, so we have been given, these divine power has given unto us all these promises that by which we have been given exceedingly great and precious promises. That's it. That through these promises you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So the knowledge of God allows you to escape the corruption that is in this world that other people are being affected by. And because that, you know why? It's because we don't have the Word of God anymore. The Word of God is no longer taught. For instance, when I was a kid in school, and Janet, I think, yeah, because she's my age, and some of us in this room, they had prayer in school. Now, they didn't stand up and pray like we do here, you know, for 20 minutes. They oh God, it's like, Almighty God, we ask your blessing upon our teachers, our parents, and our nation. Amen. That was it. That was it. Well, it doesn't sound like much. You know, what it was from the speaker on the top of the room, somebody said Almighty God. Somebody said it. There is an Almighty God and you're not Him. Joe, do you remember some of that? Did they pray in your school?
I don't remember.
Oh my goodness. No, they prayed in your school.
No, we didn't pray.
You didn't pray?
No.
What school did you go to?
Well, when I went to Catholic school.
You didn't pray in Catholic school?
We did.
That's what I'm talking about.
No. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm talking about that. There's more like that. Jack, I'm sure, you know, raised in Texas. Yeah. Were you raised in Texas? No.
Oklahoma.
Well, that's close enough.
It is.
Yeah.
I'm raised in Texas.
Did they pray in your classes?
I remember it.
Almighty God. They said that. And did you know every kid sitting, except these two, every kid sitting in a desk, Jack, did they pray? This is Dallas ISD, come on.
It's been a long time.
I understand that.
I think they did, yeah.
I know they did.
Right in school, but
until 63. Class. Until 63.
I learned, looking back, that David's dad went to Fort Worth High School, and there was Bible verses in the curriculum of the program somewhere that they had to learn Bible verses. I thought that was pretty impressive.
Praise the Lord, yeah.
Well, across the stage of our high school today,
yeah,
it says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life.
Hallelujah. Amen. Because, you know, that's why they took the Ten Commandments down from courtrooms and classrooms, because the kids might read them, and they might, if they read them, they might remember them, and if they remember them, they might do them. Can't have that. You can't have the Word of God. That's religious teaching. You can't have that. No, all of our laws are passed based on that, right? So we had all that. Every kid in America had the Word of God, had the testimony of God in their heart. You know how long it's been since that's been true? You know how long it's been since that's been? 1963. In 1963, they took that prayer, that little baby nothing prayer, they took it out of public school. But you know, they were smart enough to know that people were hearing about God. Every child was exposed that there's an Almighty God and you're not Him. Yeah. You know our ceilings are going to look like this in the house? You're going to have a little thing that goes up like that. I didn't notice that until just now. But the Word of God gets on the inside of you because it's a seed and it'll change you. And this knowledge of God that he's talking about, see, the knowledge of God was given to those children. It was given to me. The knowledge of God, through the knowledge of God, we have these exceeding great and precious promises. You know, kids could get the knowledge of God. They're not just afraid of him. They're just like, can I find out more about this God they're faking today? You know, God might speak to you right there in your little chair and say, hi, I'm Him in your heart. Because all of a sudden you heard his name. Almighty God. See, if you hear the name of Almighty God, he can come talk to you because you expected him. All right? I mean, remember Abraham? He just kind of, one day, walked up beside him. Hey, Abraham, I'm God. He just started having a conversation. He could do that with Brazos. Yeah. Brazos, I'm God. I just thought I'd want to have a conversation with you, make you a bunch of promises, tell you how much I'm going to do for you. Because he loves you so much, he's going to do all kinds of things for you. Yep. Amen?
Amen?
Isn't that all true?
Yes.
You know that's true, right?
So be it.
Yeah. Because he loves you so much, he's going to do all kinds of things. He doesn't do stuff for your mom and dad, but he'll do stuff for you. But then he'll give you stuff to do, too, you know, so. But you got to have your own God. You can't have mommy's God. You can't have daddy's God, right? Amen? Isn't that true? You got to have your own. And he's the same one. He's got to become personal and real to you. Verse 4, by which we have been given exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. You're a partaker. I'm a partaker. Yippee. Of the divine nature. That is, God's nature's in me. I have his life, his nature, and his ability. I have the life of God in me. Having escaped the world's corruption. Glory to God. You've escaped corruption that's in the world, so you're no longer deteriorating. The Holy Spirit is on the inside of you. Now, he is quickening your mortal body, right? He's quickening your mortal body. He has made his... You've escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust or rust. You know, you're not rusting anymore. You're not rusting and you're not lusting. It'd be awesome. You'll be in better shape. Joe, you're in great shape because of the power of God. Amen. Exceeding great and precious promises. That by these you might escape the corruption that's in the world through lust and rust. But also, verse 5, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence. Now listen to this, this is good. Giving all diligence. This is something for you. Giving all diligence. Add to your faith virtue. So add to your faith virtue. Add to virtue knowledge. Add to knowledge self-control. And see, once you start adding virtue, then everything else begins to come along. It kind of adds on. Knowledge, self-control, that adds on. Perseverance, the ability to push through and not allow the world to overtake you and not allow the world to get your attention, right? So in other words, perseverance is the ability to push past all the things that are saying, like when you're fasting and here comes a food along, you know, and you go, no, thanks, no. Because I'm determined I'm not going to eat too many of those calories because I'm not going to get, you know, when you're short like me, you don't want to be 200 pounds. Do you know I've been 200 pounds? Can you imagine that? How fat was that guy? I mean, that was bad. Can you imagine? You would never marry a 200-pound short guy, would you? No, because he's too fat. You know? Yeah, I was skinny. I was skinny when I got married. Yeah, I wasn't any taller. I wasn't any taller, but I was a lot skinnier. Amen. So all of that. So, yeah, but perseverance is a. I don't want those calories. I just say no. Yeah, because I know what I want. I know my goal. My goal is to walk with God. In that case, my goal is to be skinny. But my goal is, and not to have to buy a bunch of other clothes, and not to feel like I'm a big roly-poly or something. But with God, my perseverance is to leave all the trash behind, all the wickedness, all the evil, and all the things that keep me from growing. There's just stuff that keeps you from growing, isn't it? And we all know that. you know, well, there's stuff that kind of gets your attention and, oh, what's that? You know, and you go over there and you spend way too much time watching TV or way too much time, you know, doing nothing. You know, some people are into video games. Some people are into all kinds of things. But you don't need those things. You don't need those things. What you do need, and I pray that you find that out sooner than later, but if it's later, find it out anyway. You know, find out what you need to drop off and let go of, and say, God, help me to do that. Help me to do that. Because he'll show you what it is. He'll show you what your problem is. And so then he'll fix the problem, because he's a good mechanic. Amen? So you're adding to knowledge, self-control, and perseverance. Never give up, never give upness. And to perseverance, you're adding godliness. And to godliness, you're adding, it just keeps going. You're adding brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, you add love. Now listen here, watch this. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge. There you go. Because the knowledge bears fruit. You won't be unfruitful or barren in the knowledge of God, or the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he says here, for if these things are, King James, I don't know, this is New King James, I guess, are in you, King James says, are in you and abound. So these things, all these things, which are virtue, faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. If these are in you and abound, they make. So all the fruit of the Spirit make that you will not be barren nor unfruitful in that knowledge of Jesus Christ. So listen, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. You know what? If you don't get the knowledge of God, you can forget that you were clean, you can forget you were saved, because you have stupid habits that begin to take over in your life. You have things that just, they keep cropping up, and all of a sudden they make you think, well, did I get saved at all? You're thinking like this because the enemy comes in and gives you stupid thoughts. He comes in to give you thoughts that will drag you into a pit. So that's why you want to fellowship, and you want to have the Word, and you want to have these divine and precious promises in you continually, so that you know, and you are there in you, and they abound, and the fruit of the Spirit is in you and abounds. Really, that's what this rendition, this list of things is a rehearsal of what? It's a rehearsal of the fruit of the Spirit. Amen? There's a few different words, but it's the fruit of the Spirit that Peter is reciting here. I mean, Paul did it back in Galatians. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, this is verse 9, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. You forgot that you were cleansed, that you were born again, because your sins are showing up. And they're getting your attention. Hey, and the devil's like accusing you, and you're listening to it. Right? Okay. And I know I'm preaching to the taught here today. So what I may be preaching to you is, this is for you to tell somebody else, to talk to somebody, to encourage them, okay? Is encourage people. No, you are still born again. Just get back in the Word.
That's good. That's exactly right.
You are a teacher. Listen, those of you who are here are teachers, right?
Amen.
Because you know the truth. It's like, you know, I always beat up on these kids, you know, because they're young and they got a big audience who has been raised without God, you know. And so you guys have been raised with God. And so God is just using you. He's going to use you, and he's not going to make it your whole existence, but he's going to use you. Just know that. Because you can save people who are a mess. Amen? Heck, we got Christians who are a mess. Amen? Because they're just fearful. Or they believe the lies that the enemy tells. He forgot he was purged. He forgot that he was cleansed from his old sins. Verse 10 says, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent. So back here, when he said in verse 5, he said, for this very reason, giving all diligence. What's diligence? Diligence is in the Scriptures. Okay? Your diligence is in the Word of God. Be diligent to put the Word of God on the inside of you. And then over here, verse 10, it says, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent, consistent, to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. King James says, if you do these things, you will never fall. Do what things? Put this Word of God and these divine and precious promises on the inside. Remember them. Now this is great. This part is great. Verse 12. Therefore, I will not be, this is Peter, I will not be negligent to remind you, or me, this could be me, to remind you always of these things, though you know them. Well, I already know. Yeah. Well, I'm not going to be negligent to remind you even though you know them. Because I'm a good dad. Though you know them and are established in the present truth. Oops. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I'm in this body, this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, he's going to die, just as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, verse 15, I will be careful, to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after I'm dead. So, yeah, I'm going to make sure that after I'm dead, you still are remembering these things. Amen. So powerful. So I think that's so powerful, is that he's telling you, keep these things in your remembrance. Don't let them escape. Don't let them escape you. You know, back here. His divine power is given unto us. If you get these two verses, this is going to make your day. Verses 3 and 4. His divine power is given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to glory and virtue, by which we have been given exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. Those two verses are showing you what you have received, and he's saying, remember it. Verse 16. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses, Peter's. This is Peter. And we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came from him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. That's on the Mount of Transfiguration. And we heard him, here it says, and we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. We also have the prophetic word made more sure, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place. Watch this. This prophetic word is made more sure, which you do well to listen, watch for, look at, heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arise in your hearts. knowing this, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
Yes, Lord.
So this day star is rising in your hearts, so you continue to, as you remember the Word, you meditate on it, what, day and night. You remember that from Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1, you remember that from Joshua chapter 1, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night. Then you shall make your way prosperous, then you shall have good success. In other words, God, you won't be against God, you'll be on God's side, and you're getting the blessing of walking with God. All right? So he says, this day star is going to arise in you see it. You begin to see it as a light shining in a dark place, and all of a sudden you begin to, and the day star begins to arise in your heart. You begin to see things that you never saw before. The Word of God becomes alive to you, and these exceeding great and precious promises become evident to you, and the grace and peace that is multiplied to you becomes an everyday experience for you, not because everything's going your way, but because His grace is sufficient for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Even so, even though you have troubles, we're troubled on every side, but we're not distressed. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We're cast down, but we're not destroyed. All of these promises in Him are yes and amen. And this is how we live. This is how we live. We live in Him. In Him we live. In Him we move. In Him we have our being. Amen? Because the Holy Spirit has put on the inside of us His truth through the seed of the Word of God. Abraham got a seed. Moses got a seed. Amen? I want you to turn aside like Moses. Moses saw this burning bush over there. It's burning over there. A burning bush. Oh, what's that? What's that? So Moses kind of, what is that over there? So God was real patient. He let him come over there, and there's this bush on fire. But it wasn't consumed. And he turned aside. Just, I don't know how he got Abraham's attention. But he turns aside. God, give us a place to turn aside to. And we're already in the kingdom of God. But Father, I just ask you to just give us a place to turn aside to. Father, let us be a light to the world. Let us be salt and light in the world. Let us not be political. Let us be salt and light. So people see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Father, we thank you that our good works are not born of our ability, but they're born of your ability. And we thank you, Lord God, that you are manifesting yourself in us through the world so that the world may see you. They may see Jesus. So, Father, we ask you to use us in preaching the gospel and in where it's possible to elect godly leaders and then hold those guys accountable by praying for them, calling them on the phone, and getting rid of them if they start falling apart because they're no longer useful to the Lord in that sense. So, Father, we thank you right now that you have called us to be leaders in the world. You said, choose out... You know, Moses, choose out 70 people and make them leaders over rulers, and rulers over 50s and 10s and 100s and 1,000s. Well, you're going to choose regular, choose people, choose regular people, and make them leaders to help out. So, Father, we thank you that you're doing that, that you commanded Moses to do that. You commanded Nehemiah to rebuke the elders and the rulers when they were doing wrong. Rulers and elders, you rebuke them. So, Father, you commanded us to do that because we're filled with your Spirit. We are your sons and daughters. We are here. The kingdom of God is here right now. And we live in the kingdom of God, even in this world. So, Father, we thank you that you, and we also preach the gospel to every creature, that people may know that they can be born again and live in the kingdom of heaven forever. And people here in this room can be born again. People here in this room can be born again to hear, once they hear that Jesus Christ died for them on the cross, forgave all of their sins, and if we'll receive Him, and that they will receive that promise and that finished work by faith, all of our sins are forgiven. We give you praise, Lord, that you've made us filled with the Holy Ghost to be your vessels, to be used in this world until the day that we go home or until Jesus comes. So we love you and we give you praise and we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So glad he's in my life.
Hey, so good. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He's made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad.